to our worship team for today, and appreciate that, you guys leading us. I know some of you guys are part of our church family, others are our guests today, and so thank you so much, all of them, for being here with us today, whether you're our guest or our church family, those of you that are watching today from our live stream, thanks for joining in with us today. We're glad to have you a part of what's happening today. So, Bible's out. In just a few minutes, we're going to be looking at a story in Luke chapter 12. And so if you want to go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to that. While you're turning, I just want to remind you, if you were not here last week, news, at least for me, and hopefully it will be exciting and helpful for you. If you missed last, finally got it done. It is now published. There's a book that I've just recently written called One Kid, One Dollar. And the idea is, what if we could train the next generation of kids and children and teenagers to be godly stewards of the resources that God has given them? And what would the future of Christianity, the biblical concepts of money and finances and personal stewardship? And so anyway, that's available. And if you'd like a copy, there's a sign-up list on the back there. Those of you that have already signed up, I know many people last week signed up for a copy of that one time just to have some available. And let me just say this also. Last thing I'll say this morning about that is if you or somebody you know could benefit from a copy of a book like this, but you can't afford it, please just write your name down anyway. I want of stewardship to get out to as many people as possible. And so Rachel and I just had a quick conversation this last week, and we thought, you know, hey, we'll just buy a lot of extra copies and give those away to people that are in need or could benefit that just can't afford it right now. So anyway, this week, and I believe at least for the next few days, those will be available for pretty much a big discounted price. Jump into a story today. And if you are with us today and missed last week, we're on a series this whole month of August called Jesus on Money. And it's a very important concept to get right, because sins can control our hearts. So we're talking about that this whole month. And what did Jesus actually say about money? And principles. We're talking about 17 principles all month long. Last week we did the first three. And those were very quickly, God intends that money have an eternal purpose. It's not just for the here and now, it's for the then and there. Principle number two is money only amplifies and exposes who we truly are. More money does not make you a better person. It can make you just God or to money, but not both. And the big takeaway from the last week was God doesn't want our money. He doesn't want our money. He wants our heart. And so that was the big thing, the focus last week. It's God's not so concerned about, you know, how much money you have or don't have. He wants your heart. That's the issue. That's about money and possessions. And I want to ask you, before we begin this passage in Luke 12, about a cake, okay? And this is a free-for-all, okay? Just talk out loud. It doesn't matter. Anybody, think about your favorite type of cake, okay? What is your favorite type of cake? And just say it out loud. Chocolate? Pumpkin, okay? Pecan? That's Kit Kat cake? Man, that would be awesome. I've never had one of those. All right, so the next time you go there, you just remember who your favorite pastor is, okay? And ingredients, go. You get me three or four of those, okay? All right. Now, but a cake. Let's think about a cake. What kind of butter? Sugar? Milk? Eggs? Some people put salt. Depending on what flavor, you might do a little vanilla flavor if you're doing a vanilla cake. Yep, flour, that's right. And so think about those ingredients. All the ingredients go into a cake. And if, let's just say that you made a cake and you really wanted to do something super special for your friend, and you made this cake, you went through all kinds of time and effort to make this cake, and then a slice of this cake, and you want to watch the joy on their face as they eat this yummy, delicious cake. And as they take a bite into this cake, the very first bite, they start chewing, and then they have this look on their face. It's a little bit of a grimace, like, gross. You forgot the sugar. Would that make sense? it would make sense, right? It just doesn't taste good. Cake does not taste good. Or if you maybe forgot some other very important ingredient, maybe you just completely forgot the flour or something you put, or maybe you put flour in there instead of sugar or something. Maybe you just messed it up bad. Ingredient for many of us as Christians as it relates to our finances, the missing ingredient. And today, I'll just go ahead and give it to you. The missing ingredient for many of us, not maybe not all of us, but for many of us, is something just called contentment. Contentment. It's a hard thing. United States of America is perhaps the wealthiest nation on the planet. And yet, what do? We are constantly wanting more and more and more. But I believe that to earn more, we want more things and more stuff. The greatest path to overcoming greed, and that is again through this missing ingredient called contentment. And somehow greed has become the default conditions of our heart. So many days we find ourselves just wanting famous or popular. We always want more. So Jesus spoke directly about the concepts of greed and contentment in this story. And I love this story. I went through this series several years ago. And if you were part of our church maybe 5 or 6 years ago, we went through this. And I will tell you this, me personally. There's a specific ingredient that we're going to talk about today, or a specific principle we're going to talk about today, truly. And this is in my Bible. It's called the Parable of the Rich Fool. And so we're going to look at principles 4, 5, 6, and 7 today. So 4 more principles, key principles that Jesus taught us about money. And so before we begin this first few verses, let's go through principle 4. So if you have your sermon notes, feel free to write this out. And the is not equal to the quantity of our stuff. The quality of our life is not equal to the quantity of our stuff. Look at verses 13 through 15 that Jesus is teaching this very, very, very powerful, sobering, tell my story. In verse 13, it says, someone in the crowd said to him, "And who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of," what's that word? Greed. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Huge statement. That last statement that Jesus made, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. The quality of our life is not equal to the quantity of our stuff. I remember in 2010, I had the opportunity to take a mission trip to Zambia. And the plan was that we would stay in Zambia for about 18 days, and the trip team that we're going to go from Zambia. We were in a city called Kitwe, Zambia, and we were going to go from Kitwe north over the border into the Democratic Republic of Congo. And so we were going to go, three of us were going to go through the border into the DRC, is what they call it, Democratic Republic of Congo. We were going to go there and we were going to do some training for some past border to the next border in a third world country. You know from experience, that can be very stressful, very overwhelming. And so I'm very tense. We had been driving, three of us, American Combi, it was a little van, and we had people that were driving, no clue where we were. We didn't even know if we were on the same continent anymore, but we had been driving and driving and driving, and finally, we get to this long, long, long line of tractor-trailer trucks. And I say long, there were tractor-trailer trucks lined up, one right after the other. And they were all waiting to cross the border from Zambia to the DRC. And the issue was that their border patrol and their customs agencies had to screen pretty much everything that was in these trucks, and it was not like what we have here between Mexico and the United States, but it was completely third world operated by these trucks. We finally get to the border, and there we stop. So we have to go in, and the three of us Americans in this combi were about the only ones that were really out of the country or out of even the continent. So we're riding, and most of the people that we were with were speaking another language. We had no idea what they were saying. And so they just said, "Come with us." So the three of us, we were kind of freaked out a little bit. We don't know what's going on because there's thousands of people. And they look at us. The people from the DRC begin to look at us. And they they notice really quickly that we don't quite look like them. And they warned us that because we are white and what they call Europeans, about the price of cross, that they could take advantage of any kind of American that they could. And so we're trying to haggle how to cross over the border. And so they told us, Americans, they said, you three guys just stay in the back of the combi. And what we're going to do is we're going to finish paying everything and doing all of our paperwork. You guys just stay there in the combi. Now, unbeknownst to us, our drivers and our guides had been doing some. So we're waiting on our guides in the border or the customs rooms to handle all the paperwork. We're sitting there to die or what, but we're sitting there. And my friend Desi, he was in the back of this van. And in the back of this specific type of van, if the van is facing that way, the back seats, there's two back seats, one that faces this way and the other one that faces this way. And so we're sitting there scared to death, not knowing what's going on. And then after about 20 minutes of just talking, just me and him and one more guy, all of a sudden, from underneath this seat that I'm sitting on, a chicken begins to flap its wings for the first time and begins to make all kinds of noise. And I had no idea that. But they had gone shopping, and they had gotten this chicken, and they had left it under the seat for, I guess, for a meal later down the road. And I realized that something so small to them, a chicken, that's something so easily accessible for us as American, was a big deal to them. That was like fine dining that they had gotten. Anyway, so we go, and as we are going into the DRC, the first stop that they take us to is this little bitty, we're going to just across the border, and they take us there, they say, so we go, and I'm thinking church, they're church, you know. We go there, and their church consisted of orange plastic roof and chalk held up by sticks, not really much of it. And we got there, we noticed that the people, the believers that were in this church, all of them had something in common. All of them had smiles on their faces. They were all just happy people. At the time when we went in 2010, the DRC was the poorest nation on the planet. It reminded me, as we've gone through this series in the past, it reminded me that there's a lot of people with a lot less than I have who are a lot happier, with a lot less that are a lot happier. And we found out that over time that sometimes the stuff that we have creates more problems than joy. And so the quality of our life is not dependent, or it's not even equal to the quantity of our stuff. Jesus said this. He says, watch out. He even created one of the Ten Commandments because of greed. Don't covet. Greed, covetousness is all basically the same thing. I want something that's not mine. It's a very important principle. Jesus continues the story. And the principle number, look at how he continues the story. It's very, very important to me personally. This is the one principle that is probably continues. He says, he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. But he's illustrating an individual who was very blessed. Okay? The Bible says the ground of this certain rich man produced a good crop. And he was blessed. And we're going to see that they prepare for the abundance. And so we're going to talk about exactly how that worked itself out in just a minute. But we all need a plan for the abundance. If you remember the geography of Israel, there's the Jordan River that runs north and south, and the Jordan River, there it is. You can see in the north the Sea of Galilee. There's been fishing there for thousands of years. But the water from the Sea of Galilee sometimes will run south, and it ends up in that place called the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea, the thing about the Dead Sea is that it has no outlet. So water just kind of out of the Dead Sea. And what happens? Death happens. That's why they call it the Dead Sea, because nothing really lives in there. Does that make sense? and it dies because of that. And the same thing is true where we're seeing this story that this man has been receiving the crop of a certain rich man was blessed. But he didn't have a plan for the blessing. Let me ask this question, and you can do this maybe even on, if nothing else, I want everybody to think of a number, of a salary. You don't say it out loud. What would be enough for you of a salary? Okay? You can write it down. You can think about it. If you had to choose your own salary, what would be enough? I'm not talking about making you, hopefully you got some kind of an idea what that number would be. Okay? So you take that number, and now here's the second part of this. What if you actually had that salary? What if you did, and then a week later, somebody gave you $1 million? What would you do with $1 million for? And that's what we're talking about. To have it several years ago, and notice this in the story, it impacted the way that Rachel and I operate. And somebody would come and bless us with something, give us something. Most likely it was probably, who do we know actually needed? And so we had learned through this principle to sell some of that away. We have a surplus funds. If we ever have any kind of funds that come into our household that are unexpected blessings, we have a plan to say, okay, well, the right thing for us to do is not for us to hoard all this to ourselves, but to give some of it away and to share it with others that are in need. And so we're going to see that this man didn't. Just basically, he said, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. In other words, all of his barns that he had, he's already got enough. But he's blessed with more. And look at what happens. Verses 18 through 20. And then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will year for all my grain and my goods. I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for you. You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? What is Jesus communicating? Jesus is communicating that greed is something that will destroy. That wealth does not erase the imminence of death. If you want to write that down, wealth does not erase the imminence of death. He didn't have a plan for the abundance. His only plan was to store it up for himself, to keep all of it, never to share anything. And because of his lack of planning, just like we all, whether you're getting allowed him to amass all of this stuff, all of these crops, all these blessings for himself, but it didn't make him live a day longer, right? I mean, just because you have money doesn't mean you have a longer life. Wealth does not erase the imminence of death. And wealth doesn't change that thing. Now, the guy said to himself, I'm just going to build bigger barns. I'm just going to build something bigger, something nicer, something that'll hold more. And isn't that true about us? Don't we always want something beyond what we already have? Don't we always want something a little bit nicer, rolling a U-Haul? Have you heard that? I mean, there's a picture of maybe at least one that was caught in the act. But you can't take it with you, right? There's the old saying also, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead, right? You can send it ahead. You can't take it into heaven, but you can use what you have right now to get other people to heaven, to invest in the needs, to share with others, to love people that have great needs and security. They make us feel like everything's fine, but all of those things are temporary. There's also another saying that maybe you've heard, he who dies with the most always still dies. Right? So that's principle number six. They don't keep you alive any longer. We just have to decide what to fill them with. We all have barns. We just have to decide what to fill them with. Look at verse 21. Jesus wrapped up his story, his parable, and he says, He says this, "This is how it will be with anyone else or anyone who stores up things for himself." Jesus is telling this person in the crowd, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." He's telling it to him. He's telling it to the crowds. He's saying, you let greed get a hold of your heart, then this is what's going to happen to you. He demanded of you. At some point in time, life will end, and your very soul with the possessions that God entrusted with you. And all of us have these things called barns. We see there are barns in the story here, but figuratively speaking, you have a barn. Maybe you have multiple barns. Maybe you have all kinds of possessions and resources that God has given you. Maybe it's talents, maybe it's abilities, maybe it's time, maybe it's money. Man in the parable chose to fill his barns up with the things that would benefit him. He stored up all of these things for himself, but wasn't rich toward God. And that's the life of greed. We just have to decide. Mullins, Rich Mullins passed away in 1997. I'll get to that in just. Rich Mullins' music really totally was a fresh breath of fresh air in Christian music. And Rich Mullins made an impact on my life just through his music, but I didn't really know much about the guy. I just knew he was a Christian singer. I liked his songs. And somebody said, you know, several years ago I read his biography, and it was called Rich Mullins, An Arrow Pointing to Heaven. That's the book cover there. And I just say this, if you've never read that book or read about Rich Mullins, do yourself a favor. You don't have to read the whole book, but at least go read a little bit about his history, his life history. I'll tell you a little bit here. Rich Mullins had the capacity to have really, really, really large barns. Rich Mullins wrote a song called Sing Your Praise to the Lord. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but Amy Grant found this song and recorded the song, and after that, Rich Mullins made his Christian music debut. Became really well known. And Rich Mullins with Christian musicians and concerts and things from place to place to place. One of the highest demands, somehow, though, he understood this concept we're talking about today. He understood the concept of bigger barns and smaller barns and what you fill your barns with. The thing about Rich Mullins was that all of this money that was paid to him, thousands of dollars, probably millions, off of his labels, his concerts, and all that kind of stuff. But one thing Rich did that was different than what most people did in the Christian music industry, he decided to get a board of directors for his ministry. And he sat down with them early on in his ministry and he said, I want the things of this world to distract me from what really matters. I want to invest my life in the kingdom. And he says, guys, he says this to his board of directors, that's all I need. Don't tell me about how much I make off the concerts. Don't tell me about how much I make from songs, the records. I don't want to know anything about it. Just give me enough to live on, $25,000 a year, and I want you to give the rest of it away. And here are some charities. Died in 1997. By the way, he died in a tragic car accident. And when he died, he had been living, just before he died, he had been living on an Indian reservation. And in this Indian reservation, he had chosen basically to give up all of the things that he could have enjoyed in this life. And he chose to live on an Indian reservation and teach Indian kids music. They said, well, we need to go to his house and collect his things. And Rich Mullins lived in a single wide mobile home. And they said that when he died, all of his possessions in all of his house, everything that he owned could have been fit in a 10 by 10 storage room. Somehow he got the, I'm not going to build a bigger barn. He knew what he needed. And he said, you know what? I have a plan for the abundance. And it's not about storing up things for me. And that made a tremendous impact on my thinking. And I wish I could say that I am at the place where he's at. I'm not quite there. But I do know that this has impacted me. And this story of Jesus in the life of Rich Mullins, we're faced with the decision to treasures on earth or treasures in heaven. And the choice is up to us. And I think the earlier, younger kids, teenagers, the younger that we can grab a hold of this and that you can grab a hold of this, the easier it will be. Because I can tell you, and adults, give me an amen if I'm telling you the truth, okay? Isn't it harder once you become an adult to get attached? Adults, most of you know what this would be like. I mean, or could imagine anyway, but imagine what it would be like if you could only live on $25,000 a year. Not necessarily, and by the way, Jesus wants us to think about what Jesus is saying. He's saying, watch out for all kinds of greed. Let contentment rule your heart. And so that is the so what of today. If you're dealing with a greedy heart, and I know that if I were to say, stand up if you're dealing with a greedy heart, many of us would probably stay seated because we don't really think we'd struggle with that. But all of us do to some level or another. Greed can only be conquered through contentment. Ron Blue, a Christian financial author, he says, how much is enough? What I need, and that is enough. Greed says, I need more. But contentment says, I don't need more stuff to make me happy. Contentment says, I will be satisfied with the things I need and generous with the things that I don't need for money. Contentment says this, I'm going to be more concerned with storing up treasure in heaven than store you a picture of an egg. See that egg there? Anybody want to shout out a number, how much you might be willing to pay for an egg like that? Isn't that, okay, how much? $1 million, okay, anybody else?
5 million.
Five what?
Billion.
Billion with a B? Okay, anybody else? This, and several years ago I posted the picture of this egg on Facebook, and I just asked the question on Facebook, how many of you would be willing to buy this egg? And if so, how much would you pay for it? And I had all kind of crazy answers, and some people said, you know, I wouldn't want that egg. I wouldn't give it to my worst enemy. Somebody said, you know, I might pay $50 for it if I knew that somebody really needed it, or that went to a or something. Well, here's the story of the egg. 2004, there was a scrap man bought this thing, and he thought, well, I think it's gold, so I can just melt the thing down, and I can sell it for a little bit more than I pay for, maybe make a few bucks off of it. He bought this egg at the time in 2004 for $13,300. Okay, $13,300. Now, he tried to sell it as it was, and nobody really wanted it. His plans to scrap it and melt it down never really came to. Several years later, he stuck this egg on his shelf and just kind of forgot about it. And some looking again at this egg, and he thought, I'm just going to check out that thing. I want to see really what it's all about. You know, maybe it might be something. Maybe it's not. But he got to looking at it, and he noticed that inscribed on this egg was, so he did, said, Vacheron Constantine. Vacheron Constantine, and found out that there was an egg that was made for this emperor. This egg was made by the famous Fabergé Jewelry Company for the royal, bought the third imperial egg. He also found out that the egg was not worth $13,300. It was worth $33 million. Anybody want to go to a flea market now? The story is that sounds entertaining and enticing. What's the point of the story that don't understand the greatness of the blessing that God has given to us? In life of itself, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. God has filled our barns up to more than what we need. God's blessed us spiritually. He's blessed us physically. He's blessed us financially. We're blessed. How immensely we are already blessed. What we already have. Contentment begins to take over when we realize that. And so here's a practical step. Maybe if you struggle with this like I have, and I do, and I will struggle with this in the days ahead. If you struggle with this, here's some practical ideas of what you might do to conquer greed, not let it have a hold in your heart. And the first thing is this, sell some stuff and give it away. Or sell stuff and give the money away. Many of us do yard sales. Many of us sell stuff on Craigslist. It's very special to you. Maybe it's about something that you can sell. Maybe it's even and give the money away. And you have to ask yourself, is this thing, has it got my heart? Or does God have my heart? need this thing, and I can give the funds away, or I can give it away to somebody else. It's never been easier for Americans to sell their stuff. Generosity has a way of prying out greed from our hearts. So if there's a need that you're aware of, an organization that you know of that's doing good work in ministry, kingdom, all kinds of greed, contentment is the missing ingredient that will conquer the greed in our hearts. Okay, let's pray. God, we want to say thank you for the fact that you have given us a story today to remember, though we might not want to admit it. Many of us struggle with a desire to build bigger barns, bigger bank accounts. But God, help us to remember that the things that you allow us to have in our hands and our possessions are not just for us to build. We're in need, God, those that need the gospel. Help us to practice contentment through what we remember today. God, please help us to have a plan for the abundance. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.